We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We finally reached that point, and that is the All-Star break here in the association. So that means here on the PHLY Sixers podcast, we have a lot to talk about from the first half of the season. Some rumors, things going forward, all kinds of crap that we're going
to
throw in here.
We also learned how to spell. Look at these letters in front of us.
We got new block letters here on the table. You were waiting for it. You wanted to see it, so we got it for you here.
Was anybody waiting for it?
Podcast. Somebody was. We didn't know we were. We didn't know we needed it, but we got it. And welcome to the PHLY Sixers podcast. First show, post first half of the season, alongside my partners, Derek Bodner, Kyle Newbeck, Brianna producing. I'm Devon Givens. We have all of you with us here as always, and we appreciate it as we run for the next 5 days. 2:30. We get the next couple of days, 2:30.
A lot of daytime hangouts,
yeah.
Guys. So we, like our guy Dan Murphy the other day, move your meetings aside. You got to plan ahead a little bit. It's not post-game show territory, but we'll all get through it together. I promise.
We'll get there. So we have a lot to get to. And one of the things, if you've seen, of course, our graphic to start the show, there was a report that came out about one man and one man that's been linked to the Sixers before. And it didn't happen then. Is it going to happen now when he's 40 years old?
Right now?
Right. Yeah. Is he visiting any schools in Lower Marion or something like that?
Oh, those rumors last time were so hilarious, man.
And that is one LeBron James. There was an ESPN report about Daryl Morey calling the Lakers, just inquiring about LeBron James and what it would take to acquire the future Hall of Famer. And then we saw Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, those names attached to the Sixers as well. And we wanted to start there because how often do we get this opportunity to talk about LeBron James? Every year?
Yeah, pretty much.
Every year. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, he's lived the second half of his career going on 1+1 deals. So, yeah, we get to talk about him a
every
lot.
Year. Every
even
season.
When there's almost no chance he's going to change teams, even when there's almost no chance he would pick Philly, even when we have a Burnergate scandal in the middle of all that to kind of distract us, we end up talking about LeBron James. Yeah.
Look, he's an all-consuming force.
I guess there's two reasons we're talking about this, right? One, because he could be a free agent in the summer, and mm-hmm. two, because there's a report that Daryl Morey inquired about him, and then Pelinka immediately said, well, how about
you trade us Joel Embiid?
Joel Embiid, yeah. Which is honestly the right response to that.
Sure. Yep.
I have no ill will towards that. That's how he should respond. Look, I don't begrudge Daryl for asking.
Do you want to start from the beginning and I'll lay out the report? So at ESPN, for anybody who happened to miss this, which seems impossible in the last couple of days, but maybe you did, Woj and Ramona Shelburne, the headline of the story was that the Warriors made a play for LeBron and that those conversations happened at the ownership level, that Draymond Green had gone to Joe Lacob, who then called Genie Bus and was like, hey, LeBron's tweeting hourglass emojis. What's going on here? There's weird shit happening. Is there a pathway to a deal? Allegedly, Genie Bus talked to Rich Paul and LeBron. It was conveyed to her and thus the Warriors that LeBron was not interested. But in the midst of all this, Daryl Morey, as you know, seems typical for him, sees the hourglass emoji tweet. Hears
it's just,
about
it's just
some
wild
of these
that like GMs are responding to cryptic Instagram tweets like we do. It's just wild.
He hears maybe some of the smoke coming out of LA. Certainly LeBron was not really hiding his emotions going into the trade deadline. There were some grumpy old man answers, for lack of a better word, in media availability. And so Daryl calls Rob Pelinka, who, as Derek then just laid out, said, if you want to trade us Joel Embiid, maybe there's something to talk about here. And apparently that was the end of the discussion. So if you're asking me, the headline really here is that LeBron and his people are, through backdoor channels, admittedly, are trying to set the stage for, hey, we might leave this summer, or something might happen this summer, because Draymond Green didn't just wake up one day with the same agent as LeBron James and like, hey, we should go trade for that guy. That, like, I very much think this is people talk to some people, talk to some other people who then relayed to the power players in LA and Golden State that something could possibly happen if you grease the wheels and have those conversations. So I would say that I would have bet LeBron would finish his career in LA. Still probably think he will, but I think there's a stronger possibility that he leaves this offseason than I would have like a month ago.
Yeah. So I think a couple things. First, I think you're probably right in that I still think he stays. I think if there is maybe a primary reason this is coming out, it is a little bit of pressure to put on the Lakers. Are they still sitting on two tradable first round picks? They didn't trade any, right?
No, they didn't move any.
Yeah. So I think it's probably some pressure to try to improve the team, you know, sort of like a la Giannis in the offseason, just at a much lesser scale because they don't have the assets to get Dame, but some pressure to improve the team with a little bit of, yeah, maybe this is a small possibility. It might be 5%, might be 10%. Who knows what that actual percentage is? LeBron probably doesn't even know that actual percentage, but I do think your overall conclusion that it is still more likely that he stays is true, but also that there is some percentage chance that he could move. Would that actually be to Philly? I don't know. But I also saw a lot of debate with about Daryl Morey and whether or not it is ridiculous of him to be calling for not only LeBron James, but also Kevin Durant. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't mind that he does it, but it's also ridiculous that he does do it. Like, it is I saw some people, including Daniel Olinger, who's, I think, a great writer, currently writes for the rights to Ricky Sanchez, but he brought up, like, hey, it worked for him once with Harden. Well, that was a guy who was a six-man.
Slightly different.
On a team who couldn't keep all of their talent around. You know, they had four high-priced rookies coming in and didn't really want to pay that kind of luxury tax bill. That's different than LeBron James. There's one that has a high probability, or at least a decently high probability, a high enough probability to pursue it, and that was with Harden. And there's one who, like, Lakers aren't trading LeBron James. It's just not happening. So I do think Daryl was probably wasting everyone's time a little bit by inquiring, but I would rather have him waste some people's time than not explore it. No fault all around.
And also, it's something that takes, what, 30 seconds? Yeah. It's just,
and
like,
you know, if you make that call, you run the risk of a snarky response back. He got that. Everyone moves on with their day.
Yeah, and that's why it's not happening. And even with the Bronny piece from him leaving USC, maybe after his first year, which he's not, and by all accounts, it doesn't seem like he's ready for that at this stage of his basketball career. That's not going to happen, but it's cool to hear it again. It's cool to see it again. And Daryl Morey doing his job, just calling and asking for a player that he knows is not available. What if there is something that Rob Pelinka just having one of those days and it happens and he gets it done? But you guys are right. Of course, it's them planting their seeds. They're not happy. He's tweeting hourglasses. But guess what, man?
Nobody else. It's very few people in the world who have the power to with one emoji, just completely screw up.
They do it right now. They're tweeting out an hourglass to see if anybody gives a shit.
The crazy part about the whole
nobody
thing is,
nobody would give a shit.
He keeps doing this, but he's the one who keeps having his imprint and his fingerprints all over what that roster looks like. He's the one that asked for Anthony Davis. He's the one that asked for Kyrie Irving, maybe, and it did not happen. And he continues to ask for all of these players. And it just doesn't happen. And by the way, how am I as a player supposed to feel?
The Russell Westbrook piece.
Westbrook,
he was involved in that
who
process.
Who flat out just won't even dap him up at all when they play against the Clippers because he's like, no, you're a snake. And he keeps doing this. And look, we know he's one of the greatest players of all time. You could argue where he belongs in the lore of history, whether he's number one, two, three, four, or five, wherever you have him. The crazy part of this is he keeps doing this, and he does it every year. He has the most power in the NBA, to your point, one emoji to get all of this stuff kickstarted and have Draymond Green asking Joe Lacob to go ahead and check and Mike Dunleavy Jr. to go ahead and check on the availability of LeBron James because of an emoji. You keep asking for these guys, man. Even going back to Cleveland when he would get ticked off with the roster looked like, and he goes, I need this player, I need that player. Well, the Lakers used to have this when he got here. Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball. He had Kyle Kuzma for whatever it was. He had, who else did he have there at that time where Brandon Ingram and those guys got traded for Anthony Davis? He also had some other players that have gone on to do other things in the NBA at an all-star level. You had those guys, dude. Those are the people that you would probably trade for right now, some of them, to come back to Los Angeles. So come on, man. At this point, stop with all that. And he's not even the same player anymore to be demanding all of this stuff that he's demanding for what the Los Angeles Lakers are going to want to do. So come on, man. Stop. And
I sent
some LeBron... I won't say hating over there from Devon.
I'll say it. I respect LeBron for who he is. I love going to the arena and watching greatness. So whenever he's there, I'm watching. I'm going because I recognize what it was and what he is still, even at this age. I get all of that. But at some point, even at the age of 38.
Liam in the chat points out Caruso was also in LA. Now that one, I don't think that was a LeBron.
Right. Yeah.
Get him out of here for somebody else. That was the ownership being cheap.
Yeah. So he got more money with Chicago, but no, there were a lot of players in that roster. And I respect LeBron James. I respect the greatness. He's not on my hate level. I'll give you one. I don't even know if you guys know this. I hate Kevin Garnett.
Really? Oh, we've had this conversation. I'm not on quite the opposite side, but I'm
pretty
more
far
of a,
on the opposite side.
I was a pretty big Garnett guy.
But I know who he is. I respect who he is. And I understand what his place is in history and all of that. I don't hate LeBron James. It's just when you're at this point and he's 38 years old and you're still trying to, come on, man. I mean, stop.
So I sent out my hourglass tweet. If you guys maybe want to respond with some eye emojis or something.
Are you trying to get traded to a different media company?
Sending out some, speculation. Maybe, who knows? We'll see.
Randy, stop. Perk says, quote, a star is coming to the offseason to the Lakers. Stop it. You just said Perk said it. Stop. Yeah. Randy. Thank you. I'm sorry, Derek. Go ahead. Come on, man. That's another one. All right, move on. Go ahead.
My name that is in that conversation, Devon, is I won't speak ill of someone who is no longer with us in the world. So
okay,
we'll put it that way.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Okay, and I know exactly
conversation
where
you're going. Another day.
Yeah. completely off track now. I have no idea where I was going
to
go.
Had to get that out.
If he would sign with the, and this is one thing we've said a lot, I give Joel Embiid a lot of credit for not having complete control over, player personnel, essentially, like LeBron has had. Stars, players in general, have historically not made good GMs at all. When you start catering to them, bad things happen, and we don't want, I give Joel Embiid a lot of credit for not exerting all the power that he has, but
he did send another passive aggressive tweet at the trade deadline.
Oh no, he does, but
so.
he doesn't extend that to get my guy.
He doesn't
get rid
of the screws behind the scenes and do
no,
all
he,
that.
No, a little passive. Look, I just sent out a passive aggressive tweet too, so I can't condemn him for that.
Now
it's,
you have
every
people
now and
speculating,
then it's fun,
man.
You know?
See what you
just got to do it. You just got to do it. If they could, and again, I think this is mostly nonsense. I think most likely he's staying in LA. And if he does, I don't necessarily see Philly. I think it might be too much of Joel Embiid's team to lure LeBron James to it. That being said, if you could sign him, are you enough of a hater where you'd be like, nah, I'm out?
No, okay. No. Cause even when he was still LeBron James, I'm like, yeah, you go do it. Why, how do you not?
I always thought it was interesting. There was a very loud, I don't know if it was a large contingent, but there was a very loud contingent when this happened previously, before he went to the Lakers.
When they were looking for the high school.
There were
here.
A lot of people. Yeah. He was said, oh, he's at St. Joe's Prep or wherever it is.
Right.
Germantown Academy, wherever it is. Yeah. There was a large contingent of people who were like, no way. I want the Sixers to win it the right way with the DeVault guys. It's like, bro, fuck that. Go win by any means necessary. Right. Like, the only people that really matters for, I will say the one guy in history who I actually think genuinely will suffer because of how he won his titles is Kevin Durant.
Yes.
I don't think Kevin Durant, unless he as the guy, which you could argue, depending on the night, it's Booker's the guy in Phoenix, and yeah, that's kind of a 1A, 1B situation. But I think because of the exact team at that exact moment that he joined, he is never going to get the love and admiration that I think it's pretty clear that he wants.
And I think that's impacted him ever since, too.
I mean, he was already, I don't want to call him sensitive because that feels like, I get it. He's really prideful, cares about his craft, all that. And he looked at it as, well, other guys have left in free agency and gone, made super teams and all that. And he didn't understand that that was viewed as different than a lot of these other guys. So just making the point that I don't give a shit on the outside. Like, people like us, fans, whatever, take those titles if you can get them. Take one title if you can get it. Because as we saw happen with the Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid Sixers, the one big component of that, which, you know, we don't have to relitigate Ben, completely fell apart. And building through the right way, drafting guys and going all the way with that, that didn't exactly bear fruit. So,
and look, everybody says that when it's like a thought experiment, but let's go to the Phillies. Like 2008, homegrown title for the most part.
Yep.
It was fantastic. And I love that run. That will ever be a huge moment of my sports fandom. But if like the Phillies had broken through in one of the last 2 years and won one, it's not largely not a homegrown team. Would people have cared? No, they had a fucking blast watching that team. Would have had a blast at the parade too. I think we get too caught up in all homegrown Joel's team, blah, blah. Just win. Just
also,
freaking win.
Also, like, Bryce Harper played for a direct rival that, and everyone, I won't say everyone, most people in this city hated him because he's the type of guy that when he's on your team, you love him. When he's not, you can't stand him.
He comes over, wins one, or wears one Philly Fanatic shirt, and everybody loves him. Yeah.
Right. All that really matters, like, yes, the personalities and whether they care about, you know, immersing themselves in the community, all that stuff matters to some degree. If you can get a great athlete who makes the team better, gives you a chance to win a title, sign on the dotted line. Just go do it.
I wonder, to your point about the Kevin Durant piece and back to the Joel Embiid staying away from it all and LeBron James talk in 2017 when he signed with the Lakers, the Damian Lillard piece now. Even though he didn't win in Portland and the talk was always, I don't want to go to a super team. I want to do it myself. I want to do it here. If they're going to come here, great. If not, I'll find a way to get it done. Now he's in Milwaukee and they have to get through the Eastern Conference, including the Sixers, to get that potential opportunity for a championship. What would it look like? What would it look like for him if he wins after all of that time in Portland and all that talk about he doesn't want
to
leave?
By the way, it looks like he stayed too long in Portland this is not... We've said it all year. Tyrese Maxey has been basically at Dame Lillard's level, if not better.
Yeah.
Mid-30s is almost undefeated, except against LeBron James.
Yeah, so would he get that same criticism should Milwaukee win, right? Should they win? Will he get that same type of criticism for going not a direct rival? No, it's not. But you wind up in Milwaukee, a team that won a championship 2 years ago.
I don't think so, mostly because I don't think Dame is viewed at the Kevin Durant level. Like, I think that's why the initial reaction to LeBron to Miami was obviously very strong. And if LeBron never wins that title in Cleveland, like, let's say 2016 goes differently, and then they never are, maybe the rest of, they don't sign Kevin Durant if Golden State wins in 2016, and who the hell knows what happens from there. But let's just say LeBron never wins in Cleveland. He would be facing a lot of the same stuff that Kevin Durant has. That lone title with the Cavs, where, yes, he had Kyrie, yes, he had Kevin Love, plenty of talent on that team, but he is the guy. That is his franchise. They went from, he leaves, they're irrelevant, he comes back, they're a finals team. That was what I think put LeBron over the top for even people who were big haters of him in the past. And where Kevin Durant is everyone could sit here and say, apex all-time scorer, great, great, great inner circle, first ballot, Hall of Famer. But the titles that he won, he was part of a team that was already great before he got there. And not only that, they beat him in the playoffs the year before when it was his team. And so that's the thing that he has been fighting, that I don't know that he's ever going to escape it.
You asked me what would get me really going. this conversation would get me really going. If we really got into it, which we're not today. We just, you know, we're right on the edges.
Now, wait a minute. This is, I'm going to file this away for right a summer content season.
Because this
how
whole,
can we get Devon wound
this whole
up?
Kevin Durant leaving Oklahoma City, going to Golden State, and winning the way that he did, and all what we're talking about here for the last 5 minutes, I understand it. But then I don't think people allow themselves to understand the other side of what actually happened when he did leave and go do it. And I get pissed off about it because it makes zero sense. No, it doesn't make zero sense because, again, I understand. But I get livid about that because the guy, yes, he did go and play against the team that knocked them off in the playoffs. I get it. So what? So what? Because you know what he had to do? He had to go win it. And they did. People forget Golden State lost, which is why they went and wanted him to come there. But that's a whole nother conversation that I can get going. Right. And you guys can sit out for that one because I will be sitting here rolling on that particular conversation.
I think you and I would get into a real argument about that, Devon.
That would be fun, though.
We'll table that.
Again, I'm bookmarking that.
I'm looking forward to that one. Wait, we're going to go after it.
If Josh Harris did want to sign LeBron James, he might need to consider saving a little bit of money because he does have some big expenditures lately in life. If he is looking to save money, we want to tell him about Rocket Money.
How many subscriptions does he have?
I mean, look, there's just going to be one file for the Commanders, and it's going to be a big one. It's going to be a big one. We all want to make sure that you get the most out of your money and that you're not wasting money on unnecessary subscriptions. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Do you think they have like a category for like yearly salary, for like recurring salaries? Like, we'll see. We'll have to make some adjustments for a salary cap app. Anyway, you can all see your subscriptions in one place, and if you see something you don't want, you can cancel it with a tap. You never have to get on your phone with customer service. They'll even try to get you a refund for the last couple months of wasted money and negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/PHLY. That's rocketmoney.com/PHLY. rocketmoney.com/PHLY. Maybe an alert set up. So like if you're close to the luxury tax, like, hey, now's the time of year you have to get under the tax.
You got to cancel your Netflix, Josh.
Maybe they're already using Rocket Money and that's how Daryl gets under the tax.
Hey, Josh, that 15th subscription to the Wall Street Journal. You can cut down on that, man.
Get out of that.
No, you shouldn't cut down on some gigantic Brooklyn style bagels from our friends at Bagels & Co. Those are made right here in Philadelphia.
I'm hungry.
So am I. I'm going to have to eat after the show. I might have to go to Bagels & Co. But I eat bagels several days a week. And Bagels & Co. offers an average of around 15 to 20 types of bagels that rotate seasonally. They had a Christmas one. It was just Valentine's Day yesterday. And by the way, I hope all our listeners with partners, spouses, girlfriends, boyfriends got some flowers, candy, all that to go.
Or get your partner
but
flowers
maybe
and candy.
You could have just gotten a nice set of bagels for a delicious bagel for your partner. And if you're a cream cheese guy, I certainly am, they offer 30 different flavors of cream cheese that rotate all throughout the year. Bagels & Co. do themed cream cheeses for all the local sports teams, including the Sixers. I keep saying this, really going to have to work on. There's got to be a Ricky Council the Fourth flavored cream cheese or themed cream cheese. I don't know if it's like you put his face on
Go
it.
Get the bagel, Rick.
Get his favorite flavor. We're going to have to do some investigating on that. I suspect we'll be doing some Ricky Council investigating quite soon. But that's what they call a tease in the business. Bagels & Co., as important as that variety is to their customers, affordability is up there as well. And they've kept their prices down so you can be an everyday customer, not just someone who comes in for a weekend splurge. They offer premium coffee, which we have here in the office quite often, at a superior price to most national brands and chains. So for the best Brooklyn-style bagels made right here in Philadelphia, head to www.thebagelsandco.com/store-locator to find the closest Bagels & Co. near you.
Al says the bacon, egg, and cheese. What up, Al? He said the bacon, egg, and cheese?
Oh, that's the only breakfast sandwich to me.
Oh,
there are lots of other different...
Oh, no, we're about to argue about this,
are you a
too.
Scrapple guy? Or
no,
you a sausage guy?
I don't like eggs.
But then you're opting out of the conversation.
Yeah, that's...
But I'll replace it with sausage, though. I just don't like eggs. You guys didn't know
so
that.
So what is it? Just a bacon and cheese sandwich?
No, that's sausage not- and cheese.
Sausage and cheese?
Yeah,
I don't see. I you got there's got to be more texture in there.
That that's is the texture.
I mean, if you don't
it's
like
a nice
eggs, you
sausage
don't like
patty
eggs.
Or whatever that you you know you it's a, that's the nice texture.
Let's set this
eggs
aside
nice
for when we
this
argue about
feeling,
Kevin
this is
Durant
feeling like
one
like a
day.
September show, real quickly.
It's no. The post all you know first half of the season show. Eggs are nasty. I'm sorry. I love bagels
are there,
and co.
Are there any kind I of just, eggs?
Do you know how many things eggs are in?
But you don't taste it. It's not cooked like that. When you bake a cake and you put eggs and then you mix it all, I don't taste the eggs.
Look, you just put pepper and hot sauce. It's great.
Yes.
No. No. It's awful. I used to like it and then I grew up.
What?
What do you mean?
It
what?
Sounds like the opposite.
No.
Wait, is there any kind of egg? Like, is it just scrambled? Is
I just,
it anything?
I don't. I used to like scrambled eggs.
I've never
like
heard an adult say, I matured and I stopped liking eggs. Like, what?
Because I matured and realized the error of my ways. They were
what
nasty.
The hell is going
Mom
on?
Is a great cook. She made the eggs taste, they were fantastic until I was like, Mom, no more. These are terrible.
Oh no, don't let Austin Krell's food take
no.
seep into the chat here.
Chicken wings are fantastic.
Nope.
We're yes. not going so we got it. We've really lost
that's
the plot
okay
today we come
RC
into,
is
that's...
with me by the way but we can get we can
Al
get...
is not thank you to the 2 minute warning who says what you don't like eggs thank you that's exactly
all right.
I'm not even a big I don't eat eggs all the time but if you're talking about a bagel sandwich
yeah.
you gotta have you can't
you don't
cheese
have to.
And the meat like what
yeah what's what wrong it? With that what is wrong with that? I don't understand.
That'd be like getting a hoagie and you don't have lettuce or tomato. Or
there are many people like, who don't like lettuce and tomato. I don't.
Then they're children too. Oh my God.
We can have a food podcast later in the off season, Derek, as you talk about, because there's a lot of things I just don't like. But
that's fine.
Hey. I like a lot of basketball players in the NBA. And we wonder if any of them would join the Sixers.
Just not the GOAT.
Don't spend $60 million on some eggs.
When LeBron hears that you don't like eggs, he's yeah. going to be like, what the fuck is wrong with that backward-ass city on the East Coast?
I don't
and
know,
say, no,
man.
Thank you.
I don't know. I don't understand some of his taste. I don't know. But, you know, it is what it is. That
and
being
Keith
said.
Keith in the chat is right. He says it's no longer a breakfast sandwich without eggs. 100%.
Correct.
True. You're just having a sandwich then. You're having a sausage
but
sandwich.
But people get bacon and cheese on their sandwiches without the egg all the time.
Yeah, I get bacon on my hamburger too. That doesn't make it a breakfast sandwich.
No, it's not a breakfast sandwich because you have a burger now. Not this. There are breakfast patties that are
realize.
Sausages.
That's my point. What goes along with the bacon is important.
I didn't realize what type of
it.
Can
the
of worms
cheese.
We opened over
the
here.
Cheese and
you
the bagel.
You can put cheese on both.
And you can put ketchup on a breakfast sandwich. Does that mean it's a condiment that can't be? Come on.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't put ketchup on anything. Ketchup is disgusting.
See? Okay, so that's okay?
This is one take of Kyle's that I agree with. This might be Kyle's hey! Best take.
That's
might
terrible.
Be Kyle's best take.
You put ketchup on the sandwich.
You put hot sauce instead.
Correct.
Yes. I do hot sauce.
Hot sauce
you can
nothing.
Mix both.
Nah.
Come on, man.
Ketchup is just the inferior red sauce to hot sauce.
Yes.
Doesn't have yes. any place.
Well, listen, I love
and
hot
the
sauce.
Only time I want, just... The only time I want ketchup is dipping fries. That's it.
That's it?
I won't even
and
do that.
And you dip the fries. You
yeah.
won't even put them on
no,
the fries.
No, I dip them. Yeah,
okay,
dipper.
You don't even like ketchup on fries?
Nope.
All right.
Actually, my first best friend I ever made was in kindergarten, and both of us, he was the best man in my wedding and vice versa. It's because both of us hated ketchup. So.
Okay, well, that's why you
things
guys
you bond over.
Friends.
Listen, yeah. man. Anyway.
It works out that way. All right.
We did have a super chat before we got started talking about breakfast sandwiches, right. so we should probably go back to that.
We need to ask Bree where her choices are. Because
Bill paid us enough money to have a breakfast sandwich. We should discuss his question now.
Okay, Bill says, hey guys, off-topic question. 76ers' next 21-game stretch to the end of March is a brutal one. How many of the 21 games do you think the Sixers could win? Well, first of all, this is a great opportunity for me to say, whoever made the NBA schedule and looked at the All-Star break and then said, not only, it's one thing for the Sixers to have hard games coming out of the break, right? Like, you got to play teams at some point during the season. Playing a few tough teams in a row out of the All-Star break is fine. What would possess you to say, you know, the value of the All-Star break is a week off, and then you should play three games in 80 hours out of the break. You have a back-to-back, and then not even a third game in 4 nights, a third game in 4 days, because they play at fucking 1 p.m. on Sunday after the back-to-back on Thursday and Friday out of the break. Did you have a concussion making the schedule? Like, what happened there? I don't understand that at all.
We
that
may is... disagree on food taste. We agree here, Kyle. What the heck was that? What were they doing? I don't understand what they were doing. Like, even look, last year after the All-Star break, we saw what the schedule was going to look like in March, where I think they had on the road 17 games in total, 5 games at home, 12 on the road. And we were like, damn, they're going to be in some trouble here. They made it through. They actually played well. But for this schedule here, exactly what you're talking about, this was nuts what they were thinking about putting this one together.
Yep. Anyway, to this schedule that he was actually talking about, not the jumble of games 3 and 4 nights right after the break. It is a really, really tough stretch. And honestly, it seemed like he was ending it at the end of March against the Raptors. There's the Thunder and the Heat are the next two games immediately after that. They're not exactly... I mean, if Miami gets Butler... if everyone's healthy...
Well, that Miami game is likely going to be huge.
Huge. So I'm going to extend it to 23 games. You've got the Knicks, Cavs, Bucks, and Celtics to kick it off. You've got another stretch with the Knicks twice in a row, then the Bucks, and then you've got the Heat, Suns, Lakers, Clippers, Kings, Clippers, Cavs stretch, which is just brutal. There's 23 games... They might be lucky to win 5 of them. Maybe 5, maybe 7. It's going to be a rough stretch. This is a real tough. And look, we talked about getting the 14. They picked up 2 of them. After this 23-game stretch, they end up with 5 pretty easy games to finish the season. At Grizzlies, at Spurs, Pistons, Magic, Nets. That's about as easy of a 5-game stretch as you're going to get. So maybe they pick up 4 wins there. Maybe they added in 2 wins they had coming into the All-Star break. That's 6. They need to find a way to get 8 wins. I'm saying 5 to 7 is probably something I'm comfortable projecting.
8 wins during that stretch.
So, yeah. So they just need to find like between 1 and 3 more where they surprise us, but it might legitimately be tough to get 8 wins during this 23 game stretch. That is a very tough schedule. Very tough. He's 100% right.
Yeah. It's nasty.
It's just, here's what I would say. They might be able to steal that Knicks game coming right out of the break. Cause the Knicks, as they've added these new additions, OG is hurt. He's out for, I think he's still out for what, another couple weeks, I think, with what he's dealing with. Mm-hmm. They still don't have Mitchell Robinson. Brunson's obviously playing great, but they've got some things to figure out right now. So the Knicks is the one that probably feel maybe not best about, but it's like,
it's gettable.
I could see them winning that. And they've beaten Cleveland recently. I think Cleveland's going to come in with some bad intentions.
If I was a better, I wouldn't pick that.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the one that I'm expecting. Although we do have an event that night, so I would love for them to.
Sixers by 15, come join us in the party. I'm sorry, I did not know what I was saying there.
That's next Friday, folks, the 23rd. Yep. Hope you're there.
Wells Fargo Center take over our second one of the season. All of us will be there. We'll have a good time.
Yeah, so even if the Sixers stink, we'll have a good time.
We've got a bar in that section. Exactly. Just because I have a show a couple hours later does not mean I will not have a beverage with you. It'll just be a more interesting show.
Just drink the pain away.
Yeah. So
I'll be driving anyway. Come back to the studio, so you good.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's just a brutal, brutal stretch. You have to win. Here are the ones you have to get. You have to get 2 Charlotte games, right? You have to win those. You're going to have to pick off at least one of the West Coast trip games. So between Phoenix, the Lakers, Clippers, Kings, that's going to be tough. You have to beat Toronto end of the month. And the 2 Miami games, those they won't be easy. You cannot lose both. You have to at least split the pair against the Heat. So,
and that Orlando one to a second last game of the season, they're the other team that's right there tied with Miami in that 7th and 8th spot. That's going to be a big one too. Yeah. And that one at the Wells Fargo Center, in theory, if you're going to get Embiid back, mid-April is about as good of a chance as you're going to get. They could really use them to pick that one up. And, maybe it does come back in that 6-week timeline. That would put him into late March, early April.
Yeah.
You have a chance toward the end of the season of him helping you pick off a couple of these wins. But getting 8 wins in that stretch will be tough.
Yeah, but so we have talked a lot about health and coming out of the All-Star break with who will come back. It will. This is not to pick on Kelly Oubre, but when you can, on a night like last night, say, hey, Kelly, you're just going to sit on the bench because we're going to play Buddy and DeAnthony and Batum and Tobias, that's a lot better for them than just like, hey, Kelly is right now 2-for-11 and we have to sit through 2-for-12, 2-for-13 to get to, you know, 3-for-14 or whatever. Like, yeah. There are nights where he'll only play 15, 20 minutes and you sit him down and say he doesn't have it tonight. And that's not just true for him. That's true of most of these guys in the, let's say, 5-through-10-ish range. They'll have the depth that they'll be able to actually identify and roll with the hot hand. Whereas now it's just, who's available? Because you're playing and it doesn't matter how bad you are.
And of course, when they put this schedule together, as we talk about it and we get all up in arms about it right now, of course they do this when they think Joel Embiid and everybody's going to be on the floor and able to go and play against these other playoff Eastern Conference opponents and even the top teams in the West. So of course that's what they're thinking, but things happening. But now that we are in this part of the season, they've struggled. Joel Embiid is now out. You're having the issues with Melton and Batum, Harris, Covington, who knows about that. They're going to need to find some ways to get some W's. So trying to gauge where this team is at the moment when Embiid is on the floor going through this brutal stretch and seeing how good they are and lifting everybody's spirits going into the postseason saying, oh, they can actually win and compete for a championship again. Now it's different because of the fact that he's not here. And we've seen it in the past where, the 17 games in a row that they won at the end of the season back in 18, 19, and Ben Simmons was phenomenal. J.J. Redick, the rest of the group, getting Marco Bellinelli and Ersan Ilyasova as part of that team and everybody playing their part. This stretch is brutal where we don't know that that's even possible. We're looking at it as, can you string together three straight games in a row versus 16?
I would say the one thing you would take from that streak in 18 that is always worth considering, like we look at this schedule and say, wow, these teams are very good. They're all either playoff, play-in teams for the most part. March tends to be where basketball goes to die.
Yes.
Like you can't just sit and look at a schedule and say, that's a good team. Yep. They'll probably lose. There are lots of issues with one, motivation. There are guys, especially the veteran heavy teams, who get to March and are like, hey, just get me through to the playoffs. And they're especially a team like the Sixers that once you take Joel Embiid off it and they're not a marquee team, they're not a marquee matchup, there are going to be guys taking their foot off the gas. So you're probably going to be able to steal some games here or there that way. There's also the health component, right? Like the Sixers will deal with it with Joel, but other teams, like, sure. So like, look at the Clippers, for example. They have both their Clippers games. The Clippers will be conservative with any sort of Kawhi issue, any sort of Paul George issue, any sort of James Harden issue. Because with Kawhi especially, that's a guy that he essentially is the difference between them being a title contender
and he has played a big
or irrelevant. And he's been amazing. Like that team has been very, very good.
Did you, in the latest draw poll, did you have him in your top five?
I considered it, but I don't think I did. Yeah, I think he was right on the fringe for me. I actually don't remember who I put fifth in that. I remember my top four, but.
But even during that stretch, as you talk about last season, when I mentioned 17 games that they had, 12 games in a row, 5 at home, and they had a fantastic record for the month of March. We looked at it when the schedule came out, and they overcame some really good teams there and found a way to get those W's. So you're right. You're absolutely right. And if Maxey, once they have this time during the All-Star break, and as much as we talk about Ricky Council and the scouting that the other team is going to do to try to slow down the positive things that we've seen, the Sixers are now going to also have that opportunity with their coaching staff of how do we now fix some of the problems that we had once Embiid left. Yeah. And they throw in these different defenses at Tyrese Maxey, having Buddy Hield, maybe getting Tobias Harris and some of these other reinforcements back to help out what they need to do. So we're talking about this, and Derek, maybe it is something that they can actually reach because of we're also not discounting how good the coaching staff may be in putting them in the right position offensively, defensively to get those W's.
Yeah, and look, it's just like they are three losses up on Miami and Orlando right now. That's a good cushion with, you know, what do they have? 23 and 5, 28 games left. That's why we're saying you only really need to get, you know, maybe 12 or so wins here over this last stretch. That's a decent spot to be in. Like when you start looking at it, you know, Chicago is ninth. They're 7 losses up on Chicago. If you really want to get dark and talk about like, you know, Brooklyn, they're 12 losses up against. Like they've got some cushion where the
put it this way. I am no disrespect to the family member of the podcast.
Not worried at all.
Family member related.
I know what the team is.
I am not afraid of Brooklyn passing the Sixers.
So that's why when people are like, why would Joel Embiid come back to this? Because they're going to be in the playoffs, mm-hmm. right? And they have a chance of avoiding the play-in completely if they play at least not even good ball, just competent ball. You look at the schedule, it's going to be tough over the next month or so. But like Kyle pointed out, some teams aren't going to care at that point in the season. Some teams are going to prioritize health or rest or getting ready for the playoffs. Not every game is you're going to get the other, you know, the opponent's best. And you're just going to win some random shit too. So like getting to 8 wins over the next 23 games, it's not that tall of a task. It's tall because you have a tough competition, but it's not tall because shit just tends to happen over that extended stretch. If you can go 8-15, 10-13, something like that, you're in a pretty good spot.
All right. And if you also want to be a part, as you have been for since September, a part of the PHLY Sixers podcast, we have some new merchandise as well, some new hoodies, as we have our great PHLY Sixers hoodie, the Eagles podcast, the PHLY Eagles podcast. It's a Philly thing hoodie, and also the Mishkov Black Flyers. It is a dope hoodie, and you should go get it. You can get that at PHLYlocker.com. Also, the hats. You can get the dad hat, the trucker hat, the golf hat, and the flat brim hat. And make sure you go do that at PHLYlocker.com. You can also get the very first hoodies that we have. Kyle's, you know, sporting his
Derek
right now.
Derek actually was wearing this exact same hoodie when he came in today. And luckily,
brought a backup hoodie.
He brought a backup so that we didn't have to be the matching boys on the podcast today. So that's
just
nice.
Calling it right now, you might know what my outfit is going to be tomorrow.
I would also say, while Devon brings that up, that the diehard program that we have is something I highly, highly, highly recommend. We have been upping the amount of content that's going on there, up there for you guys. I just did a story on Kyle Lowry this week. Derek did a big trade deadline primer. We also hang out in
the Discord. Like yes. Kyle and I behind the scenes information into the Discord. We might even be able to convince this guy to come and join us. But Kyle and I have legitimately, like, we've broken news on the Discord before it went out on Twitter and everywhere else. Like, I think the Discord is a good place to come hang out with people who enjoy talking about basketball, and you get access to some of your reporters and hosts that you might not get elsewhere. So I think the Discord is a big portion of it too. It's not just the written content. It's not just a discount on merch.
Join
events.
The family, everybody.
And it's not just the free t-shirt either.
Yeah.
Join the family, everybody. Yeah. Come on in. We're building a pretty fun community here where we get to yell at each other. We get
about
to see
not like an eggs or ketchup
and kinds of stuff. I'm not going to go there because we're promoting something really cool right now. But when you are in family, you can argue about stuff like that. And we can yell at each other about Kevin Durant going to the Warriors and ketchup and all kinds of stuff. And we can see Money Mar and RJ the Bull in there arguing in the chat because it's just fun stuff in the community that we have here. So go ahead, sign up to the Die Hard program.
You want to talk up that Discord community there, Devon?
That you never use, you SOB. Anyway.
I got nothing.
We're going to bully him right into being on Discord.
I got nothing.
And you're going to have that stock photo, a stock avatar for the entire time. You're never going to change it.
We also, too, I think we'll probably in the future do some Discord-only mailbag or chats and engage in that way. So.
See? Then I'll be a part of that.
Yeah.
You guys get to see me on there. All right. Because we're talking about all these names of players, whether it's Kevin Durant, LeBron James, all these different names. There was an interesting article that you saw first on The Ringer from Howard Beck, a great longtime NBA writer. He's been fantastic for many, many years. And he had something about, hey, it's the All-Star break and kind of boring and some rumors and all of that. So he got some info from some executives around the league kind of looking ahead to the offseason. And one of the things that we talk about in the chat a lot, and I'm sure in the Discord, is who can the Sixers add all the time?
It's a question that we talk all about the time. Basically every day.
Yeah. So with it, you know, Howard Beck brought up some stuff about the offseason, some different names, including LeBron James, who might be available that maybe you're not even thinking about being available during the summer And of course, bringing up the Sixers with the big time cap space that they'll have available to them, close to what, $60 million that they could have. And there were some names in there, Kyle.
There are quite a few.
There were some names in there. So you want to start it off with some of the names?
I mean, I could go down in just like written order. So
yeah.
Trae Young was thrown out there. Trae Young was not only thrown out there as a potential guy who gets traded, but a guy who actually might go the other way with the Lakers and go to play with LeBron in LA. So that was an interesting one. This one is one of the worst kept secrets in the league. But Donovan Mitchell, like, Cleveland has exceeded expectations this year based on who's been available, who's been healthy.
Yes.
But they got punched in the mouth by the Knicks in round one last year. And it's already basically, I won't say it's known, but everyone in the league feels Mitchell is out of there as soon as his contract is up. And I think that'll be sooner than later if they were to lose early this year. Like, if Cleveland loses in the first round, you're going to hold on to him through the end of his contract to have no real chance to win a title? Probably not.
My question with him is where? It was always the Knicks. That's what we always heard. But
there's been a lot of smoke connecting him to your cousin in Brooklyn. And I've always kind of looked at that as that's a good way to kind of just get stuck in exactly where Cleveland is, which is to say that's a team in need of more. I like Mitchell. I love McHale. I still think that that's a team that would struggle to make real noise in the East, but it's either here nor there because this we'll see. That's right. A year off.
So that's Donovan Mitchell.
Howard Beck says, you know, looking at Boston, and this has been one you've continued to hear Drew Holiday's name come up as a free agent target for other teams in the offseason for this reason. Boston is going to have a gigantic payroll after this year, and some of that is because of Jaylen Brown, Supermax. Could Jaylen Brown potentially get moved? And if he does, you know, like, who's actually interested in him at that type of price that he's got? But if they don't move him, is Drew Holiday gettable? Is he a free agent that you could go after? And that's somebody that makes sense in Philly still, maybe not at a high price, but certainly someone who fits. And then you just keep going on and on down the line. There's Kevin Durant. If the Suns thing doesn't work out, if Bradley Beal, who, by the way, got pulled from another game with a hamstring issue the other night. If he's never healthy, maybe he says, fuck this, I'm out. Maybe the Pelicans say, hey, we got to split up Zion and Brandon Ingram, who I know, Devon, you're an Ingram guy in some way. There's the Paul George thing, which that's probably a conversation all on its own from a Sixers perspective, because I think if you're looking at just free agents, potential free agents, circle him. And then there's the Wolves. And then it's just nobody really knows what's going to happen in June and July this year in the NBA. But the gist of Howard's article, and we've brought this up many times, is that there's an expectation that with the new CBA rules that punish teams for being second apron teams, there is going to be a ton of movement and a lot of scrambling. And that's part of the Sixers calculus, to hold that cap space, to maintain flexibility so that if and when that happens, they're ready to pounce.
And it's like you look at a team like Boston, who's in as good of a roster right now as anyone in the league, the best roster in a league, 1 through 6. They've got 6 guys you would love to have on the Sixers right now. And eventually they're not going to be able to, like, Derek White's not going to be making $17 million a year forever. When you have a top two of Tatum and Brown going into this new CBA with a second apron, it's going to be real tough to keep that team together. And I was talking to an executive the other day, and he basically just said, like, I think what Daryl's doing is real smart. Where Daryl would rather be ready to pounce if something, a great opportunity becomes available, rather than commit himself to marginal upgrades. And I think that's largely what Daryl did. And it frustrates fans for two reasons. One, that you're not going to have more reinforcements for this stretch run, but two, because you just don't know. And Kyle just went over a list of people who could become available. Very few of them we know will become available. And that's frustrating and scary and terrifying. And when you're talking about Joel Embiid and how long, you don't know how long the window is going to be open. And this is a year, at least before the injury, where you thought you had a great chance. That's not what anyone wants to hear. But I agree with Kyle's overall sentiment. I think there's going to be a lot of activity here over the next 9 to 12 months. It's just unpredictable activity, and you have to sort of wrap your mind around that and become comfortable with that unpredictability.
And some of the point that Howard was making, which I think is important to note, is that in season, especially with the play-in tournament, like the teams that have stars that are hovering around there that play for franchises, owners that are like, hey, just get us in and get us that 8-seed playoff revenue, that 7-seed playoff revenue, and that's fine. Like, we'll sell tickets and we'll make money, and I don't really care about really gunning for a title and spending what it takes for a title. But then you get to the off season and everyone kind of sobers up and says, wow, we're really going to pay, you know, just name a player. We're going to pay Trae Young all this money and go, I don't know, 39 and 43 or whatever it is. Like,
right.
That's when people start to sit down and say, well, maybe we should change something. In the middle of the season, it's hard. You don't want to uproot things, especially this season where the draft is generally considered weak, that it's a role player draft and not a star player draft. And so teams are not super interested in selling off ready-made talent for, frankly, talent that's not going to help them this year and potentially in the future. So that's a big one. And that's a reason that I think things have been slowed down a little bit, but could pick up quite a bit on draft night in June and certainly into July.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time. But those names are interesting already, and we're not even there yet. But those names are really good.
Oh man, I missed the news on PJ Tucker.
I was waiting. Yeah. So PJ Tucker and Bones Highland were both sent home by the Clippers before the last game, which I believe was last night for the Clippers. But expected to rejoin the team after the All-Star break. Bones Highland and PJ Tucker. PJ Tucker now.
I love the way that's phrased, by the way. Like, he's being a pain in the ass. Go get away, a little extra break. But we're excited to add him back into the fold in a week and a half.
And he got fined $75,000 for public trade demand on February 5th.
I'm sorry, man. Like, at a certain point, somebody made this point the other day. I don't know if you saw the clip. It was, Justin Jackson played on the Bucks the year that Kevin Durant's foot was on the line and Kyrie and Harden were hurt.
He was with Theo Pinson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Justin Jackson was on a podcast and essentially said, oh, if the Nets were healthy, they would have won. And a lot of people pointed out, like, bro, who the fuck are you to say, like, oh, they would have won? Like, you were completely irrelevant on that team. I kind of feel the same way about, like, guys at certain levels now are, like, requesting trades or the worst one recently. I don't want to pick on PJ, so I'll go a different way. Killian Hayes and his team wanting a different opportunity and wanting to get traded.
We agree on this one.
It's one of the most insane things I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. And so the Pistons are like, hey, fuck you, you're cut. And nobody's picked him up. Well, it's like, dude, Monty Williams gave you a bigger opportunity than a team in China would. Like, what are you talking about?
The one Rich always likes to bring up is Glenn Robinson not knowing your role. What are you talking about? Know who you are. And there's a little bit, like, what was PJ averaging before he got benched? Like 2 points a game? Something like that. It's really, really low.
Have a little bit of shame.
But he went from playing, close to 30 minutes here to getting nothing.
I get it.
Yeah, because the guy's fucking old.
He's a competitive guy and wants to play. I respect that part of it. But you got to know, man. Like,
he didn't ask to be traded.
You have
there.
Access to the he same tape I do, buddy. I see you out there. You can't hide. I see you pump faking out of threes and then dribbling into nothing and taking
you
a layup or you didn't jump.
Enough. You need to go watch that film again. I don't know what you were watching.
Hold on. Speaking of, this is another segue today. I feel like we're all over the place. I think this week has officially killed the sentiment of, well, you didn't play the game at a high enough level to analyze it. Because if you watch that video of Juice Check in the Super Bowl, not knowing the fucking rules of overtime, he's literally the best player at his position on one of the two best teams in football on the biggest stage of the sport. And they go into overtime and those guys have no fucking clue what the rules are.
Did you see how many of them? There were a number of them that did not know.
Two things. I think Michael Jordan's tenure as the decision maker shows that playing the game thing might not be all it's cracked up to be in terms of player evaluation. But also remember Donovan McNabb not knowing that a game could end in a tie.
He did. Baltimore.
And I'm not saying, like, absolutely, people who are in the trenches, the players, the coaches, they have access to insight that I don't and you don't in the chat, listening, wherever. but they do not have a monopoly on knowledge of sports. No. And that was the clearest cut example I've ever seen in my life.
The great part about it was a lot of the Kansas, I think it was Chris Jones, the great defensive end for the defensive lineman for the Chiefs. He said that they practiced and prepared for that. Andy Reid had them ready for it.
Good job, Andy.
Where the 49ers had no clue. So with that, that just tells you the difference in coaching. So all this stuff about Kyle Shanahan being a genius and all that, now people are pointing out the Falcons, 28-3, where they had that lead in the Super Bowl. The fact that they got blown out by the Eagles and they were still talking about that. The Super Bowl, twice, how they lost it the way that they did. He didn't have them prepared. He was supposed to have them ready for that, where Andy Reid and his coaching staff did. Total difference in how things were with the two franchises and the coaching staff. But Donovan still didn't know all the way back then in the 2000s.
That's wild.
He didn't die. So Andy had something to go off of to make sure he had his players right.
Not making that mistake
Not making that mistake again. Nah, but that's great. I forgot about that. That was bad.
Dude, once I saw that video, and the contrast is so great. NFL Films, shout out to them. They got the sideline video of like Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, like, oh yeah, they wanted the ball. Like they like realized like, oh, this is good for us.
Because they were coached.
Meanwhile, Juszczyk is on film and he's like, oh, I didn't realize if we score, they still get the ball. I didn't know the rule.
But look, I forgot about it too. Because remember when they were letting the clock run when they were right there before they scored the game winning touchdown? I'm like, are they going to call a timeout? Yeah. And I was like, oh, because I couldn't hear it where I was watching the game. I couldn't. And I was like, oh, I forgot about the new rule. But that wasn't my job.
Because
that was their job.
Yeah, and it's a Super Bowl only rule. But we're not playing in the game. We're not calling the game. We're not announcing the game.
You had 2 weeks to prepare.
Yeah,
2 weeks.
That was bad.
Anyway, we're sorry. We're just all right. This is tangent episode.
I mean, look,
today,
we've got 6 shows in a row without any games, so like there might be some wild stuff going on. Different. It might have a little bit of a September feel, which for Devon will be great because that'll be new for him. Because
it would
took
be
the,
new because I wasn't here.
Took
September.
The fall off.
And guess what? So what?
Also, if you get access or if you join our Discord, you get access to the graphic I make about our shows that we missed.
Yes, Derek has missed 61. I've missed 3.
What?
That feels like some misinformation seeping into the
working
podcast.
Working in the Trump White House right there.
Oh. We have, I'm trying to think. Was there anything else from that, the Howard Beck, the free agency? We do have another super chat also from
Nico.
Nico. Let's get to that. Kind of an odd topic. I never understood Markkanen as this perfect fit next to Joe.
Hmm.
Been watching more Utah lately. He would get roasted as our 4.
Well, roasted in what way? Defensively?
Defensively, actually.
Yeah, I think that's...
Okay, well, it's more about the offensive stuff that he's going to do, Nico, because of his shooting ability, number one, from the perimeter. The fact that he's a big guy who can play multiple positions in that front court, the 3-4, and sometimes you can have him as a 5. But for what Joel Embiid does and the spacing that we often talk about now, seeing with Buddy Hield in the past with Seth Curry, J.J. Redick, anybody they've had here... Ilyasova, Bellinelli, we brought them up earlier. Lowry Markkanen as an offensive player is the match that we're talking about here, Nico. The other stuff would figure itself out and it would have their problems there defensively, but more so offensively, they would absolutely be a problem for the defenses with the shooting ability and the way that he is able to take some of that pressure off of Maxey, Embiid, space the floor, put the ball on the floor and get to the rim and finish the way that he does. His offensive game complements what they do so, so well that, yeah, he might get roasted sometimes on the defensive end, but you know what? He's going to roast them on the other end too.
we're seeing some of this with Buddy Hield, right? Like it's a different version of the same thing. And Buddy, unlike Lowry, can't be a weak side rim protector, cannot be a guy who in the playoffs could be like a small ball 5 for stretches of time. Like the value of Markkanen is not, hey, you just stick him at the 4 next to Joel and that's all he does. It's how he changes the rest of the, like every lineup that he's in. Having his size and not sacrificing shooting and skill to have him on the floor is really important. And if you were to put multiple high volume 40%+ shooters on the floor next to Joel Embiid, to me, that is the ideal way to try to build a basketball team. Now, to your point, there will be sacrifices made. Like, there are very few guys in the league, like prime Klay Thompson was an example, who are high volume, high efficiency shooters that are also valuable defenders, that are also guard the yard type defenders. So yes, there would be some compromising, but your bet on Joel is that Joel is such a big presence at the rim as a rim protector that when guys like Markkanen, guys like Buddy, guys like Tyrese, when they get beat, he gives you a chance. And if he can't stop a guy, he might create an extra pass. And if Markkanen recovers, he might be able to clean it up on the back end with his size and, you know, dissuade somebody at the rim. So I understand those concerns. Nobody is perfect, right? Like, when you're in the modern NBA and you're building a team around a 7 foot tall center who operates from the elbow, there's complications on offense. And then you have to consider the other side of the floor. But Markkanen is, if he's not in the top tier, right? The ungettable guys are the top tier, the big athletic wings who can create, who can play out ball, all that. But Markkanen in the tier below that, probably as close to the top as you can be.
Look, if you can get Ant Edwards, I'll take Ant Edwards. You're just not getting Ant Edwards. Yeah. I think what you brought up was what I was going to go to. When you can get size without compromising skill and shooting, you get that size. Because size intrinsically helps you in various ways, whether it's rebounding, and as Kyle mentioned on the show the other night, rebounding is part of defense. Whether that's just contesting shots, even if you're not able to get your feet out there, you still have the length to at least make it difficult. He is not a perfect defender by any stretch, but he is a good rebounder who can help out defensively because he can contest shots, who can spread the floor in an elite way next to Embiid and Maxey, and who can be a second option next to either Embiid or Maxey, depending on who's on court. There's just so many reasons he's a really, really good fit and probably the best that you have a chance of realistically getting. Not a perfect fit, that's fair, but at this point, sign me up in a second.
Yeah.
And the age lines up with both Embiid's timeline and Maxey's timeline, which is really tough to do.
Put it this way. If they could get friend of the show, Mikal Bridges, then that checks all the boxes.
Sure, but
right?
Somebody failed at his assignment. So, you know.
Sean Marks didn't listen.
Tamper harder, Devon. Tamper harder.
All right, that should do it for us here on this Thursday edition. Post first half of the season, we're going into the All-Star break. Our first show, we have a couple in a row at our normal spot at 2:30 here on the PHLY Sixers podcast. We hope to be with you. Hope you're with us Friday and, of course, going into next week before the game start off against the Knicks next Thursday. We got a lot of people to thank here on this Thursday.
Yeah, and Al, I know I don't see you in there hating on Mikal Bridges. I don't think that's allowed in this chat room, buddy. But we do appreciate our guy, the two-minute warning, for coming through. He also said he will be there at that takeover on the 23rd. So shout out to Al. We will see you then. Also, I got to shout out all our other friends and fam today. We got Neil, we got Nico, we got Randy, Liam, we got Broad, we got Mr. Sandman. Let's see, we got Devon Givens.
Yo,
I recognize that name. That sounds familiar. Brian Knight, we got Jake Firestone. Let's see, Remo K.
What up, Remo?
Spencer Cotman, Spencer, I did see you point out at one point, Furkan never got fined for his trade request. That's because he didn't do it publicly. That's the thing that actually gets you in trouble in the NBA, is publicly making a trade request. Jonathan, I believe Money Mar was in here at one point. I'm just going to assume he is because our guy Mar is in here all the time. Chuck AF. We got Bootzilla. We got
Chuck says we need a Tamper Harder PHLY shirt.
You need a what shirt?
Tamper Harder.
Listen, and get like a silhouette of Mikhail. I'm into that idea. I'll have my people talk to your people. John, we got Devon again. Man, you were super active today, Devon. Good for you. We got Mary Overfield, big supporter of us. Thank you, Mary, for coming through. We got Knight with a T. I can't speak today. Ash Monroe,
what
our guy Will. I'm sure Gavin was here. Sean Comp, that's probably RC Burrows. That's probably it for today.
What up, RC?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not already, hit that subscribe button, hit the bell icon so you get notifications each and every time that we go live. And if you give us a thumbs up, maybe Devon will start liking eggs and we won't have to argue about breakfast sandwiches on the podcast. I don't know if that's definitely true, but...
And look, I'm not saying ketchup is bad. There's almost always a better option. That's all.
Don't put ketchup anywhere
near
me. It's
not like I'm throwing it out.
Don't you put
that
evil on me, Ricky Bobby. We will see you.
It's a ridiculous take, everybody. So do you put anything on your cheesesteak?
Onions and hot peppers is on my cheesesteak.
You're supposed to put ketchup on your cheesesteak.
No,
yes, you are.
If you're a loser with bad taste buds, we will see you tomorrow.
That's not true.
At 2:30.
No eggs.
Goodbye.
And tell your friends to watch the show because these guys don't like ketchup, and that's ridiculous. I don't like eggs, and that's right. Everybody have a great, great day.
You all silly like the mayor.